Aloha, Tiki Files. Thanks for joining me for episode 22 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. I'm going to keep this intro short because this episode is super cool. But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to Pete DeTolu and Docs for helping make this one happen. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Alexander Gabriel and Adrian Stoner.
So, David, how you want to do this?
We're just going to talk about rum.
All right.
Okay. Seems like you know a thing or two about that.
Yeah, it's true.
Sitting here at the Houston Whiskey Social with Alexander Gabriel.
Hello.
Founder, owner, master blender, any other...
That's enough, right?
of Plantation. Going to talk about some rum, talk about tiki. You guys are here showing off your goods.
Yes, you know, just arrived right now, actually, from Barbados via Miami.
Okay. I thought that was an interesting choice with the Miami, the Rum Congress going on right now. I thought it was an interesting choice to show up at the Rum Social, but I guess that just shows the quality of your product that everybody in the rum community knows Plantation. So let's show rum to some whiskey folk, and you have the cognac as well. So,
well, it's humbling. You know, we're still a small family entity. Actually, we're much smaller than some people think. We are a family who married a distillery in Barbados, which luckily this distillery is an old lady by the beach that's been there in its current form since 1893.
Oh, wow.
And since it was put together in 1893 on the site of a small distillery right by the sea, and by a crazy guy, crazy technician, that his dream was to make the best rum in the world, and he had several patents under his belt, you know, including his own Collins still called the State Still, which now has been forgotten, but we still have the drawing. It was patented, so he patented his own Collins, had it built to make his own rum.
Okay.
So that's the kind of guy. Even the filters, like he had sand filters, you know, I guess when you're on the beach, you use what you got.
Yeah.
And I thought this distillery was fascinating. I know this distillery for a long time because, you know, Plantation, we cherry pick the best barrels from the world, we think best distilleries for rum, and then they go through a secondary aging, first at sea, inside the barrels. Some people think it's romance, but I could give you the science about this. And it is still, you know, interesting, you know, of course, emotionally, but more importantly, it does incredible stuff to the product. And then, further aging in cognac, in our own cognac barrels. As you know, I live at the farm in cognac, and we grow our own grapes. So we have a lot of barrels of cognac, and it's an old way of making rum, and we thought we could celebrate this with Plantation. And what started as a little addition for fun, I mean, a lot of products we do, we make them because we want to drink them. And then some folks say, we want to drink this as well. It's exactly the story of Stig and Fancy. I made this with a great friend, a wonderful spirit historian, David Wonrich. And he was going through archives, and he finds this incredible rum that was made with the skin of pineapple, and the recipe had had some holes. You know me a little bit, you know, I can fill up these holes, and I got this imagination, and we got doing it, and we made two barrels, one for our friends and the other one to selfishly drink it, and which we did. And in the end, people were asking for more, and then we decided to make it. There was no plan. So I'd like to tell you we have plans, but actually not on the marketing end. It just happens. And so really this distillery in Barbados is just incredible. And it's great that we're a whiskey show here because we have something called a chamber still. And a chamber still, it's not a pot still, it's not a Collins still. It's invented by Americans, by East Coast rye producers in the first part of the 19th century. And people made, if you have a friend who's a cooper and another one who's a plumber, you can make one. Kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
Imagine the farmers creating this, you know, make do kind of still that creates this incredible profile. And I had read about it, and people thought they had all disappeared. A lot of them were made of wood. Ours, West Indies, made of copper. This is why it's still there. And right, you know, after Prohibition, West Indies rum, purchased it from America. And it was went silent at the beginning of the 21st century, and we revived it last year. It was a great moment. Imagine that first drop crying out of that still, or probably a cry of joy for us, you know, and we just tasted it, and it was incredible. And since that day, it's temperamental because it's old. We have to run it slowly, but we've been making rum with it. So that's kind of the adventure, absolutely.
Nice. And that's the West Indies Rum Distillery you're speaking of in
exactly,
Barbados?
Exactly, the West Indies Rum Distillery in Barbados. And it's got also a room inside the distillery at the heart, you know, the distillery's wall, right on the sea, like I said. And that vault room has documents going back to the origin of the distillery, 1893. Including the wheels, distilling wheels, so you see at what temperature they were distilling and when in, and when they cut. So all these things are incredible inspirations for us, including still designs. We have 15 still designs that are literally blueprint. They're blue.
And those are dating back to?
To that date.
Okay.
And until the distillery designs, we have them until Second World War. And I'm gonna give you a little nugget here as news. We're actually a still that we had that was a single retort still that we have the full design. We have decided last week to build it back.
Okay.
And so it awesome. It worn out. It was out, but we have all the drawing. So we have an estimate already,
okay.
And we're fine tuning the estimate. We're negotiating with the coppersmith. And it's going to be singing in a year from now.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and we're also joined by Adrian Stoner, Ferran Ambassador.
Just creeping.
Absolutely.
So I guess, how does the single retort system, how does that affect the distillation process?
Hello, as you know, it's a great question. You know, you have a single retort, double retort, mm-hmm. and it's a single retort with on it a reflux system so that, you know, so you don't have to go through a second retort. Yet it makes a bigger rum than if you go to the double retort.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, we have decided to build a second retort next to it that will be bypassed. But if we decide to do a double retort, you know,
it's there.
We felt it's better to negotiate it once with the coppersmith than two times.
Makes sense.
So, you know, and so we said, but we're going to use it as a single and potentially as a double retort. But it is a single retort, and I thought that would be really interesting, and it's got something on top that actually create a little reflux because so, you know, would be like a retort and a half if you know, as you know, the retort makes the room lighter, you know, as you run it through. So we're so excited about this.
That's definitely going to be interesting. I'm excited to see what you guys do with it. So I guess getting a little more into the rum distillation process, one thing that I've been wondering is you start out with, let's say your molasses, you know the ingredients, you know the kind of still you're going to be using, whether it's a column or a pot still. Just use Zemeca, for instance. When you were distilling that rum, were you set out to let's do a dry Jamaican, or is that just kind of what you get?
Well, that's a great question. The Jamaica thought process was a bit different. As you know, West Indies Rum Distillery, National Rum of Jamaica is a Jamaican company that owns Long Pond Distillery, the mystical Long Pond, but also Clarendon / Money Musk. The distillery is called Clarendon because it's on the Money Musk estate. And that's part of West Indies Rum Distillery because long time ago, when these distilleries, these mystical distilleries, were running into trouble, there was a third one called Innswood for the rum fanatics. They will know Innswood. And when these distilleries got in trouble, the government took them over to keep them alive. But very fast they realized the government, in its wisdom in Jamaica, recognized to say, look, we're government, we're not distillers. So they looked for help. And they contacted two distilleries that were at the time reference distilleries, West Indies Rum Distilleries, and also DDL, Demerara Distillers, great distillery in Guyana. And to this date, we are all partners. So it's a big happy family, you know, the government, DDL, it's a great harmonious relationship. I mean, I'm the young rookie in this, you know, in Jamaica. And I feel so privileged. I mean, I don't take this lightly. You imagine?
No, it's a big responsibility.
Yeah. and it's a big responsibility. I can tell you a lot about this. And at Plantation, we have a lot of stocks of pot still rum from Jamaica. I'm fanatic about pot still rum from Jamaica. And so every time, we never have cash in this company. We're totally cash, like the pockets are no cash. But we have a lot of barrels. And because minute we have two nickels to rub together, we have another barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we have very storied marks from Jamaica. And I'm a bit superstitious. I'm like, I'm keeping these barrels and they're aging. And then we're part of Jamaican rum history. And we're like, again, in a very humble way. And I said, then we're going to celebrate this by doing, it's the tribute to a guy called J.C. Nolan. J.C. Nolan was a feisty Jamaican from the beginning of the 20th century, where that said, true Jamaican rum is pot still. True Jamaican rum's got intensity and style.
Mm-hmm.
When there was colony, would call this silent spirits. And to these days, our distillers called, you know, Colin Still silent spirits, you know, which I think it's a bit poetic and in Jamaica. And I said, no, let's make the true pot still intense yet elegant. And so I use some of the marks, they're actually on the bottle. And we use some of the marks from Long Pond and from Clarendon to blend this into like a beautiful Jamaican that we call Jamaica as a celebration to the country itself. I'm going to give you a little secret. I don't know if you know, but it's actually illegal to write in America the marks that go into a blend. I don't know why. The TTB told us. I've just heard this from Guillaume. But we presented the label anyway, and they didn't. It's so much stuff on the label. As you know, we believe in transparency, so
absolutely,
we write all the information. If you want to know, just look at the bottle.
It's a beautiful label as well.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorites.
You'll see it's on the label, and it went through, and we're very happy, so we can actually tell you the marks that are in there. So that's the answer to that question.
Okay.
It's really to celebrate the heritage, yet with our skills, you know, to make a beautiful pot still rum from Jamaica. So
okay.
Yeah, something we enjoy a lot.
And while we're on the subject of Jamaica, so how do you determine what goes into your signature line versus your bar classics?
That's a great question. To me, you see, I like to work with guys that have like specific skills and work together. As you know, I've worked probably with 50 master distillers and master blenders. Dave Pickrells comes to mind, of course, since we're here at the whiskey show. But many, Professor Jong in Korea, who taught me how to clay pot age, for example. And so for 30 years, I've been learning a lot. And so the idea is for when we're working for the Bar Classics, was really saying, let's produce incredible rums that's got so much in personality and style that when they go in a drink, they're gonna shine, you know, they're not gonna be overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea. And for example, one of the Bar Classic is the OFTD. And the OFTD, I didn't work with one guy, I worked actually with six other guys. I never thought, you know, we would ever agree on something before we started. And it was a 1 year array that we just discussed, argued, you know, blended, and then we did that. So that's really when we do things to, like I said, you know, the idea is to have that intensity and that style that will shine through in a drink with different stuff, obviously, of what you want to do. Like the original dark was to have like a rum that's got this intense, it's Barbados based with some Jamaican in it, and as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the signature blend, you go towards something that could be sipping. You're looking at that, and look, you can sip the OFTD real well, and you can sip the, I like to sip on ice the OFTD, and I mean, you know,
oh, that
divide is not necessarily meaningful, but yet, you know, sometimes so the signature blend is really to look at different elements where we can have a product as is, that's got that balance and that elegance and so on. You know, is the OFTD really balanced? I don't think so. The OFTD comes and grabs you.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't let go.
But in a warm way.
Absolutely.
That's what we try to do. So that's kind of the philosophy behind the two.
Okay. Well, and all the bar classics are fantastic. The 3-star is one of my favorites as far as mixing. Daiquiris are always amazing with that. OFTD, of course. The original dark is great as well. And then there's a fourth one in that one. It's Stiggins.
Well, yeah, we have Stiggins, which I told you that's the one where we distill the skin of the pineapple, still by hand, you know.
You guys just had a party.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bittersweet moment because, as you know, and I want to pay tribute to our brother,
yes.
Rocky, whom we lost brutally, a few weeks ago, and we wanted to celebrate Rocky by, instead of doing a Stiggins fancy, to do a Rocky fancy. And we all band together and peeled more pineapples, and the addition is in his honor. So still made by hand, and that's one of them, and I love to sip it as well, so there's no real great divide when it's good rum.
Oh, absolutely. And we were just poured this Jamaica, the...
What's the 2000...
You want to have a little sip first?
Oh, I have.
Yeah,
that's the... Go ahead and take a taste of that.
One too. Thanks. Yeah, so here, you know, we have something we call the single cask edition. It's something I love. It's my little sandbox. You know, every year we do 10 or 12 different expressions. Here, you know, Longhorn, Clarendon, you know, blend, as you can see. And this is something I use, barrels from my very good friend, I don't know if you know, Teeling Distillery from Ireland.
Okay.
And it's run by a good friend of mine called Alex Chatko. He runs the production part. I think he's a genius, Alex. He's a master blender and a master distiller. Very imaginative, so the two of us, it's like a match in gasoline. And you know, he's got a lot of experience in using different type of woods, and I do too. I'm actually writing a book about this. And so we swap barrels, Alex and I. So we use some of his whiskey here, barrels, Irish whiskey, and he's doing, you know, plantation barrels from Jamaica as well, and
awesome.
Barbados and so on. So it's a great, a great partnership, you know, and wanted. I don't know if you like it, but
no, it's fantastic.
Something that's,
I love Jamaican rum.
52% alcohol, 52.1, so quite structured, and from our two distilleries there, you know. So the idea was to create, you know, both intensity and balance.
Oh, that is fantastic.
That's a nice baby.
Very good. So I guess when you started distilling, you were doing a cognac. So what prompted rum? It seems like...
That's a great question. You know, it's true. I'm what you would call a French redneck, and grew up in the vineyards, you know, actually, and learned to make wine as early as I can think, just watching the old guys making it and then being taught. I still have my great-grandfather wine press, actually. It's an old one. Cognac Ferrand, as you see, you know, the adventure of Maison Ferrand.
Okay.
And about 25 years ago, I was trying to learn about rum, but for my personal pleasure. And I thought, maybe I can sell some of my second-hand barrels also when I go to the Peruvians. You know, farmer, you try to kill two birds with one stone. Is it really work? Is it really vacation? I don't know. It's some of both, right? It's like today, that's my vacation time, you know?
Yeah.
And long story short, I knew some people already, like Thierry Gardère, the incredible guy that passed away now, the late Thierry Gardère, that ran Barbancourt Distillery. And it's a great distillery in Haiti. And then also Laurie Barnard, you know, in St. Lucia. And so hopping from one island to the other, we sold some barrels to Thierry Gardère for a long time, actually, some cognac barrels. The Barbancourt family, long time ago, was from cognac. But more importantly, I discovered rum, and I fell in love with it. I mean, it was love at first sight. You know, yes, I had drunk rum before, but you know, like casually, but being there, smelling it right from the still. And you know what striked me the most, what was like haha moment to me, was the mastery of the distillers about fermentation. I felt like a little kid that needed to learn everything. You know, the way the guys do fermentation in the Caribbean and in Jamaica especially, but if you look, some of the islands are reconnected with this because the second part of the 20th century, people really standardized everything. I mean, my good friend Dave Wondrich says most of everything went to shit, you know, as far as spirits concerned. I think it's a bit of a, you know, of course it's a strong statement, but in some regards I would agree with David. And what happens is the same thing. A lot of guys went into optimizing yield as opposed to flavor.
The quality,
because
yeah.
you can't have it both ways. I have bad news for you. If you want intensity at taste, you're losing yield. If you want more yield, you're losing the flavors. There's no way to have it both ways. And so, of course, guess where we stand? So I saw the where they were, and when I heard, you know, about, and I saw the guys in Jamaica still using some of the ancient techniques, Hamden and Lone Pine, and now being a little, you know, humble part of it, it's just a dream come true. So I was fascinated, and I said, again, it was not a commercial project. I said, let's age some in the barrel and see what happens. And we did so, and some of our friends think like that was great rum, and we sure liked it. And you know, the name, I can tell you, we're looking at, there's a buyer for Nicolas, they're called Nicolas. It's a chain of wine stores in France, and she loves our stuff. And one day she says, I want the rum. And I'm like, well, we don't even have a brand. She says, you make a brand. And you know, I grew up on a farm, I live on a farm, and in the Caribbean, a farm is a plantation. There's no other name. And I said, well, let's call it the farm, you know, plantation. And there was no thought process. And then we launched Plantation, and as you know, I love the creation of products. Thank God we're not owned by any big companies, because I probably would have been fired. All of these guys have been fired too, because they're as weird as I am, and I love them. And you know, so we can afford having all these products on the table with nobody tapping us on the shoulder to start saying, get serious, you know. It's true, it's crazy.
And being so into it yourself, I imagine it's nice to be able to be the one to make that decision. Let's do something interesting. Because you know, who's going to tell you no?
To stay, and well, actually, you'd be surprised. to keep me in check, I asked the team, and you know, and we decide together.
Okay.
Because otherwise you'd have a new product much more often.
If it were up to you, there'd be a new product every month.
It's true. And actually, there is a new product every month that we're working on, but we don't launch it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a musician to stay current. You play music, and you don't put a show with every piece you play. Mm-hmm. It's true. We work on different stuff. And Adrienne, who's here, is part of this passionate team, and she came to us from the rum world and has like this incredible sense of mission. And that's what we love, you know, to work with guys who are not doing this to punch a card and say, this is what we do. She tells me what she thinks about the products, and she's an inspiration, as the team is. And when they don't like something, quite don't see it, they politely tell me, yeah, maybe this goes to the little souvenir room, because we have a whole palette of products that are like the five-legged sheeps, you know, that didn't make it to market. Mm-hmm. And sometimes one of these sheep jumps out and makes it to market. The Curacao is one of them, for example, or Stiggins, of course. And that's the way we do this. But to feed that creation, it's important to research the history and the old techniques of rum making, much like an artist studying your classic to be able to create. I'm adamant about this, and all the young staff, as we grow, joining us, I want them to learn the classics. We have maybe the richest library of technical documents going back to the late 1600s, either paper or digitalized. And that's very important to make beautiful rums, to, you know, to actually master that and have that curiosity.
Makes sense. Well, you're doing a lot of fantastic stuff. All the products are great. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I've got quite a bit of Plantation at home.
Thank you.
But back to the OFTD. Adrienne, you have ties to this through Paul McGee with your work at Three Dots in Lost Lake.
I mean, it's miraculous enough to think that six tiki nerds got together and agreed on anything. Like, these guys can't agree on a build for a Mai Tai, let alone a blend of rums. I've worked with all of Plantation, both at Lost Lake and at Three Dots and a Dash. But it's a different experience. Like, you have hands-on, and like we're saying here, like, we want to hear from the people that are interested in the spirit. It's not just a closed-minded, like, my way or the highway, let's make a product to make $1 million. It's, what do the people want to drink? What are the spirits that we're going to remember the most? Like, we want to make a memory, not just a dollar.
Yeah. Well, and it's a collaborative effort, and I think that shows in the products that...
You know, I love what Adrienne says, because that reminds me of one of my mentor, my grandfather, and I made a few blends, and, you know, the old guys, they they didn't tell you a lot like, I love you, this is great, wonderful. That's positive reinforcement that's really big in America, which is wonderful, by the way. That's not, you know, it's like the French kitchen. It's a bit rough law. And I remember that first time, you know, raising an eyebrow, I'm being told, this is good. I'm like, thank you. This is no, that's not a compliment. I never heard of anything positive except that maybe I have a talent, and yes. He says, no, good is not good enough. You need to make a mark. It has to be memorable. That's what Adrian says. You know, when we made OFTD, you take the table, you take everything off the table, you research your history, you talk with people who have that knowledge, you put up their heads together, and you taste these super old, overproof rums. You see how they like seep into you and what they trigger in you, and then you go for it. And Adrian's right, you try. Then the idea and the challenge is everybody with all their experience, they're very seasoned old souls, you know, that were by my side. And it's a wonderful journey. I love this type of journey. Even the name, within, you know, the worst part for us is the marketing. We have no clue about what we're doing marketing-wise. And I said, yeah, no, we're going to call it Plantation Overproof, boring, but what else? I couldn't find a name, and nobody could. And I remember Jeff Berry had a good name. He says, we're seven, we're going to call it Seven Sinners. You know, he used to be a screenwriter, but I said, maybe it's a little too religious. You know, we already have the Reverend Stiggins. It's respect, you know, obviously. And so I said, maybe, you know. And then as we finished the blend by adding a tad bit of a vatted Barbados rum, Dave Wandrich stands up. We're all a bit tipsy. 300 glasses on the table, glasses like these. I know, because we have crates of 50 glasses, six of them. And he stands up and he's in a typical Eureka way, says, oh fuck, that's delicious. And we thought, OFTD, you know, we're in Cognac at that time. You have all these fancy VSOPs. And we thought our way to show that was the OFTD. Of course, if you look on the bottle, you'll see old-fashioned, traditional dark, because the government here, TTB, wanted to know the meaning of the acronym. Oh fuck, that's delicious was a steep one, so we decided old-fashioned or traditional dark, much more reasonable and boring.
But it's not, and that's the thing, it's not a boring spirit at all. It's a fantastic spirit. It's one of the best, one of my favorites to blend with.
Thank you. I love to sip it, and of course I've learned so much from the bartenders and the tiki world, where, you know, the weight and what they're looking for, and this rums, it's very, very assertive styles. And that's what we believe in, so that's why we clinch. Mm-hmm. And Paul McGee, I mean, all of them are incredible guys, and that's why they were part of the panel. I remember, our good friend from Dirty Dick, which is a bar
in Paris,
obviously, is Scott Shooter, Scotty. And Scotty, first meeting, Scotty was kind of the youngest of the team, and he says, I'm with my heroes there, you know, he has Jeff Berry and all these,
Paul McGee,
Martin Cade and so on. And I'm like, Scotty, you're there because you got an incredible palate. And he does. And, you know, so yeah, incredible, incredible experience.
So you just sip it neat?
I love to sip it on ice, on me. You know, it's true, I must admit. I think it's just got that nice thing where it really captivates you, you know, but it's a real warm day. I get like kind of a snifter with it, with one big ice cube, one big round ice cube if I'm lucky, and then sip it. And, you know, people in the Caribbean will tell you, some of them, that actually a higher proof spirit cools your body down. Now, I'm not sure about the science here, to tell you the truth, but I believe it.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because you're just drunk and you're moving slower, you're sweating less.
Actually, I asked this to a doctor in the Caribbean, who said that it dilates. Look, I'm not saying,
I'm just
giving you the idea. I know how to distill and ferment and blend, but that it dilates your vein, you know, your vessels, so you have a more heat exchanger with your body. And the person went as far as to say that if you suffer from frostbite, you know, the Saint Bernard with the rum barrel around the neck, it's actually the worst thing to do, because that would dilate your veins and you'll be more exposed to cold.
All right.
So anyway,
so if any Saint Bernards show up when it's cold out, stay away from.
Don't
drink
from
the barrel.
If you see barrels and you're very freezing, just go back inside first and then drink the rum.
Yeah, take the barrel, go inside.
Exactly.
And then
can we make a way to make that dog tiki? Like, what's the tiki version? Like,
I don't know. With the
think about it.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to that one. But so, Adrian, so how did you get involved with Ferrand?
Ferrand, it was kind of a journey, a process. When I was at Three Dots and a Dash, initially, like the first year that we opened, Alexandre came to visit with the market manager, who is now my direct boss, Victor Bouvier. And so I'd met them kind of from the beginning, from the jump. When I started at that bar, I was a tiki fan, but I didn't know that much about rum because, you know, there's a lot of rum bars that don't excel in education.
She's being modest.
But I've been a bartender. At that point, I'd been a bartender for 14 years or something. And then when Paul opened the bar, I finally had an opportunity to get some solid education. And there was a lot of it. So just really kind of digging in deep, exploring all the different countries, producing rum and the different methods and styles. And it was kind of a game changer. So my first foray into supplier work was with Spiribomb.
Okay.
So working with Rum Agricole part-time for a couple of years, and then just kind of transitioned into a full-time position with Ferrand.
Okay.
I lucked out. There was an opening, and I had to jump on it. You
awesome.
Know, I tease my coworkers at Lost Lake because really it was more that I needed to retire. I was the oldest person on staff, second to Paul. No offense to Paul, but yeah, I was the old lady at the bar, and I was getting slower and just like couldn't keep up with, you know, 10-hour shifts and 12 touch drinks. So I had to kind of like say farewell to my full-time craft tiki life, but I still love that bar and I'm still there sometimes 3 times a week.
Nice.
Which is a problem.
We've only been there once, but yeah, I can imagine it was very very high stress. So it's
yeah,
a lot of turnover.
The Lost Lake, you know, we're really full staff at Lost Lake, so we tried to control the door, and it was more like a cakewalk by comparison to what happened down in River North.
Where,
you know, there were shifts where I, like, you know, had to look at myself in the mirror and be like, is this something, like, can I commit to this? I mean, we, you know, River North is more like party culture, and Lost Lake is more of a neighborhood vibe. So once I got to Lost Lake, it was like, yeah, long hours, but, you know, I'm not making 600 cocktails a night anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So different.
I'm sure that was a huge relief.
Yeah. But it's an extensive program, and I appreciated it, having access to that knowledge. But I think working with plantation specifically was like an easy segue for a tiki person. We're used to working with rum from different countries. We're used to working with blends, like how to layer a drink with rum from different countries and different styles. And so for me, it was just like, yeah, of course, like that makes a ton of sense.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what got you into the tiki?
Oh, no real firm one thing, I guess. I used to be in a rockabilly band back in the day.
Oh, awesome.
And there's always a lot of crossover between those. Like, we used to play high rockabilly in Calafell in Spain. And there's a little tiki bar out there, like just outside of Barcelona. So that was kind of like the first tiki bar I'd been in my like early 20s. But it's escapism. It's, you know, it's a fun way to get out. And I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's cold and it's dark and, you know, not that different than Chicago, but that's where we need tiki bars the most. So it was, I guess, kind of an easy segue for me as a like cold northern Midwest gal.
Nice.
Yeah.
And with the influx of tiki and its resurgence, how is it? Have you seen a rise in the amount of plantation that you're producing? Or have you felt that you're just saying, I don't feel that, or have noticed or have seen that there's been any dip in quality, so I wouldn't imagine so.
Well, we feel, you know, I'm on the production end, right? So I see it, obviously, yes, plantation is growing for sure, but I see it more in a technical way and exchanging. As you know, our house in Cognac is open. We have 9 bedrooms. We've got friends coming over all the time, and we share. A lot of people think we're a company. We're more like a community. Maison Ferrand, and Maison means a house, the house of Ferrand. We're a house. I mean, we mean that word. And we have a house also in Barbados. It is a house. That's the key, is at the distillery. We were there last week. We're just coming from Barbados. And Adrian was there with the whole team. And when you work at Ferrand, you partake. We live together most of the time, you know, like this, because we... we share. For example, Adrian last week worked at the distillery in Barbados, and the whole team, they had a job, you know, doing different things. And
I was in the lab.
Yeah,
with the ladies in the lab. Our lab is entirely female run, female fronted, female managed.
Nice.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. And so everybody got to do a job. You know, here you have Pete, who was on a forklift.
I saw the video on Instagram.
In the warehouse, you know. And so you know, that's what it is. And that's the way we are. And before that, we were a full week, a session in Cognac with my production team, you know, explaining. These guys have an incredible knowledge about rum making, incredible. And in Barbados, being with two gentlemen that are in charge of fermentation, sharing information that are quite confidential about the muck pit and dunder pits and so on. And it's, you know, they've discovered things that they thought they knew, and now they know even better. So
oh, yeah.
That's something that's the way we work. And Adrian has this incredible, love of rum and tiki. And so she's borrowing all this know-how. And once you hear the people making the products, I think the tiki world has a way of blending, you know, has a know-how, a thirst for that know-how. Because as you know, tiki associates and combines different rums.
Oh, yes.
So she's thirsty for that knowledge. And I don't think we disappoint you on that.
No.
Well, and I think they're getting ready to open the doors. So, Alexander, I appreciate your time.
Well, thank
Adrian,
you.
Thank you for sitting down with us. It's great getting to meet you. I'm trying not to fanboy too much. I love your products. So.
Thank you so much.
Adrian, where can people check you out? Where can people learn more about Adrian Stoner?
Oh, they can just hit me up. Email me. I can stop in and talk rum all day. It's astoner@maisonferrand.com. My last name is Stoner, unfortunately. Or just, I'll be in Chicago. Catch me in Lost Lake.
Okay. And Alexander, you're the web presence for Plantation, plantation.rum on Instagram. There's Plantation Facebook accounts. What's next? Any insights? Anything you can share?
I'm trying to share more things on Facebook.
Okay.
I have learned, you know, but I just did a post about the way we control our West Indies rum distillery. We do quality control every day as a team, which was fascinating, which has inspired me for my team Cognac. And the new things for us, there's been going to be quite a lot. The Vulcan still, you know, the chamber, famous chamber still is singing again. So you'll see something in the market in the, you know, couple of years to come. And also you're going to have, more pot still rums coming from Barbados for sure.
Exciting.
Some wonderful creation with Jamaica. And the everyday life, I guess. But, I want to say thank you to all the people that see the mission we're about. I mean this wholeheartedly. I mean, we wake up in the morning with thinking, let's make this incredible rum, and it's so rewarding to see when people get it. And as you know, we're not shy of a fight, and there's one needed to defend what we stand for. This is very important, because this whole know-how about making beautiful rum and protecting these ancient techniques is what allows us to make these incredible expressions. So thank you for people like you who are, when you buy a bottle, it means a lot to us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can find out more about the podcast, join the Maroon Facebook group. You can follow me on Instagram @DavidPhantomatic. Check out your local liquor store. Get a few bottles of Plantation. Get the whole line. Get them all. You'll love everything. I don't think you could go wrong with any of them. And until next time, Akoli Maluna, y'all.